The spirits of the dead who stood in life before thee are again in death around thee.
The dark, sinister words of Edgar Allan Poe, haunted by spirits, preoccupied by death. The Boston-born writer is famous for works like The Telltale Heart.
I was never kinder to the old man than during the whole week before I killed him.
Poe's works, like Halloween itself, exist on the line between humor and fear.
Boston College professor Paul Lewis is an expert in the works of Edgar Allan Poe. Lewis was also a prime mover in bringing the prodigal son back to Boston, in statue form, anyway.
It's an imagined scene that was created by Stephanie Rotnack, the sculptor who designed the statue. The raven is oversized, and also pouring out of the back of his suitcase are all of these pages and papers from stories that he wrote. Each have a text of works that he published here in Boston and comments he made about the Bostonians.
Like this editorial from 1845 where Poe writes, quote, "The Bostonians are very well in their way. Their hotels are bad. Their pumpkin pies are delicious. Their poetry is not good. Their common is no common thing. And the duck pond might answer if its answer could be heard for the frogs," end quote. He was also notorious for blasting Boston writers, calling them foolish for failing to create stories in genres like fiction and mystery, and instead focusing their tales on moral lessons.
Poe made fun of Bostonian authors and editors of his time by calling them frog pondians in reference to the frog pond on Boston Common. So he's walking away from the frog pond, dismissing it with his left hand in the back, and towards a house that his parents were living in around the time he was born.
Poe's parents died when he was three. He was then raised by foster parents in Virginia, but when tensions grew between Poe and his foster father, he returned to Boston, eventually working as a writer, marrying, and then losing his wife to tuberculosis.
To everyone, loss and death is scary. I think Poe had a way of gothicizing these things.
A prime example, his poem, The Raven. The black bird is said to symbolize darkness and depression. The scene is set. Once upon a midnight dreary, the raven, sinister and cold, saying simply, "Nevermore."
This raven haunts him and repeats the word "nevermore" when he asks questions like, "Will I ever see Lenore again in heaven?" He sinks deeper and deeper into grief and despair. And I think how we cope with loss and how we cope with death is a universal subject. This is one extreme example of it that people respond to. In reading Poe, you're never sure whether something is so far out, so over the top that it's ridiculous and funny, or just deeply, disturbingly creepy. And I think that's the spirit of Halloween too.
Support for Chronicle the Podcast is provided by visitnh.gov. It's fall and new adventures await in New Hampshire. New Hampshire is a foliage lover's dream come true. Whether you like the crunch of crisp leaves under your feet or a scenic drive through the White Mountains, you'll enjoy the unbeatable fall views no matter where you go. And with so many places to see and experience, you'll never be at a loss for things to do in New Hampshire. Live free and learn more at visitnh.gov.
Joe Citro goes where few dare to tread. The proof is in his book, Cursed in New England, Stories of Damned Yankees.
In the old days when the settlers first found their way up the Connecticut River, they discovered what the Native Americans had known all along, that there were medicinal springs, six, flowing from a single knoll. A battle ensued, and a couple of young Abnaki were killed. The legend says that the mother of one of the Abnaki was a sorceress, a shaman, and she put a curse, not on the white settlers, but on the waters themselves, a protective curse, saying any use of the waters for profit would never prosper. Subsequently, that has proven to be true. People have built spas and hotels on the property, and each one that tried to sell the waters would suffer some sort of preternatural retaliation.
then there is the haunted Highfield Theater, home to the Falmouth Theater Guild, and according to some, a ghost named Faye.
I had heard the stories that she was in love with someone and she hung herself here in the barn. And I heard that she was friendly, and before every show they would hang a noose in the theater for good luck so she wouldn't pull pranks, but she still pulls pranks.
The seats started falling down. And, you know, first one would go down, bang, and, you know, I'd kind of look around. Obviously, there was no one here but myself. So after this happened, you know, several times, I said, yeah, I think she's telling me to go home. So I packed up my stuff, shut off the lights, and out the door I went.
So I'm looking in the mirror, putting on my makeup, and I see this shadow behind me. So in between the costumes, I saw this shadow go by, and I felt my hair stand up in the back. And I'm like, okay, it's Faye. And so that was one incident there.
I have been here some evenings, you know, by myself, and there is kind of a feeling, you know, that there's somebody here with you. I think she's really here. I think I feel it when I'm here.
If you're looking for a ghost experience of your own, you may want to check into the Inn at Duck Creek in Wellfleet.
And as I walked through the restaurant, a large metal measuring cup, a one-gallon measuring cup, flew off a shelf and went right by my head and went all the way across the kitchen tank, clank and clank, clank on the concrete floor.
There's definitely a presence of a woman. I have seen her initially out of the corner of my eye, and I actually watched the figure of a diminutive woman in the lobby of Sweet Seasons restaurant.
I've gathered some information over the years that several people did actually pass away on the property, which is only natural. It can happen now and then. So they died away from home, and I'm assuming that the explanation is that their spirit may be locked here some way. And they're just running around these halls.
Welcome to Stone's Public House in Ashland, built by Captain John Stone back in 1832.
Almost every employee here has some kind of tale to tell, whether it was just something subtle like, you know, hearing a strange knock when they thought they were alone, or hearing voices, or feeling a tap on the back and turn around and no one's there, to even seeing things. The legends start here when Stone and some of the locals were having a card game with a traveling salesman named Michael, who was staying at the inn. And it says that the game turned ugly when there was some cheating accusations flying around, and Stone hit the man over the head with the butt of his gun, intending just to knock him out, but actually ended up killing him. And they say that they swore to secrecy they wouldn't tell anybody and that they would bury the body in the basement, which, as we've seen, is a dirt floor basement, so certainly possible. There are other stories, too. There's a little girl who was allegedly killed here. There's two stories. One says she was sick and staying at the inn and died, and the other says that she was actually hit by the train, which the tracks run right outside here. And either way, there is a dress that people say was the little girl's dress, and that's up in the attic today. It's the only thing up there, and it's certainly in a very lonely spot. It's dark and cold. And the current owner also claims that some patrons are saying that when they go out to the parking lot in the back and they look up at the upper floor windows, they see a little girl who's looking out at them. So these things go on again and again, and are being reported by many different kinds of people.
Bridget Bishop hath been accused of sundry acts of witchcraft.
Salem, a city cloaked in grim history and ghost stories sparked by an unpleasant era in our country's past.
1692, there were 19 innocent men and women who were executed for witchcraft. They were pulled from their families, put into this horrible witch dungeon, and then there were hanged publicly. So that's going to leave a psychic imprint on a location. I'm sorry, just going to.
Sam Baltrusis, author of Ghosts of Salem.
Anywhere you go, there's a ghost story associated with a building in Salem.
10 Federal Street appears to be a standard office building, but something wicked may linger deep in the foundation.
This building is on the site of what would have been the Salem Jail in 1692. The jail in 1692 was the place where a lot of the victims from the Salem witch trials were either held temporarily, were jailed here, and then also held before their execution dates.
After the witch trials, the sprawling property evolved, the jail replaced by a private home, that home later demolished to build the present-day structure. Portions of the old dungeons were discovered deep in the ground.
I mean, I can see where people would say they feel paranormal energy. We tend to focus obviously more on the history, but I do understand that this was a place where some people were very upset about the fact that they were being accused of something they didn't do.
Whether you're a believer in the supernatural or a skeptic, our guides say it's tough to deny the intrigue of Salem's haunted stories.
Salem is a perfect example of a city embracing its darker history.
Support for Chronicle the Podcast is provided by VisitNH.gov. It's fall and new adventures await in New Hampshire. New Hampshire is a foliage lover's dream come true. Whether you like the crunch of crisp leaves under your feet or a scenic drive through the White Mountains, you'll enjoy the unbeatable fall views no matter where you go. And with so many places to see and experience, you'll never be at a loss for things to do in New Hampshire. Live free and learn more at visitnh.gov.
Chronicle has visited Connecticut's mystic seaport many times in the past, and visitors know well how America's maritime past sails on here.
But who knew that some of Mystic Seaport's maritime past would be making history again 2 centuries later? It's not that anything here has changed, but rather that some of the seaport's history may never have left.
And may be hanging around here on the seaport's star attraction, America's last surviving whaling ship, the Charles W. Morgan. Some claim it's haunted.
3 visitors from 3 different locations describe the same thing, that being a man in 19th century clothing working on a pile of line or rope and smoking a pipe. No smoke coming from the pipe. The gentleman acknowledged them, and then they went up to the main level, said to our staff person, "Wow, that was great to see that guy working down below." And the response was, "There is nobody working down below."
Now, Mystic Seaport is not exactly inclined to mix Stephen King with Charles Morgan. On the other hand,
she was built in 1841, so she's 165 years old, did 37 voyages over 80 years with a crew each time of about 30 to 33. So you're looking at 1,000 different men coming from many different cultures and backgrounds worldwide that were on that ship. Are some of them left behind? You know, that's for you to decide.
Fair enough. So, on a hot summer night, it was a bit of Halloween early as we went aboard with Don McLaughlin and Andy Laird of the Rhode Island Paranormal Research Group. Laird and McLaughlin were making their 4th investigative visit to the ship, and these Ghostbusters come armed.
We got it cranked at a 10 max.
So you're getting a strong reading right here?
Well, that's what this is. This is picking up a Gauss field, electromagnetic field. Mm-hmm. Whether it's a ghost or not, or something else, that's something we have to investigate further.
You won't find these gizmos at the hardware store. Laird claims these gaussometers pick up electromagnetic smog, or the byproduct of paranormal activity. Got it? We slowly made our way to the location of the original ghost sighting.
But we're not picking up anything right now.
But suddenly,
I have a chit-chat.
That was your watch, right?
Yeah.
Just checking.
Then, in the cramped crew's sleeping quarters, some heavy electromagnetic smog. Or it may just have been the 100-year-old dirty laundry. And if you think paranormal research isn't hard work, you haven't seen Andy Laird on the job, who, despite going empty-handed from stem to stern this night, remained convinced.
It's haunted. Yeah. We just have to... To what level, we still have to find out yet, but it's on it. Definitely more of our prison. We have a few what I call personalities.
So it's full of them.
Oh, yeah.
That's a lot of electromagnetic smog.
There is something going on here.
Joe Citro and Diane Folds have sought out the unusual for their book, Curious New England.
places like the Evergreen Cemetery in New Haven, Vermont.
This is the grave of Timothy Clark Smith, who died in 1893. He was a Vermonter who was in the Foreign Service, and in his travels, he developed a terrible fear of being buried alive. He was back visiting Vermont when he did, in fact, pass away. His relatives knew about his fear, so they took him to the Evergreen Cemetery and constructed for him a very special grave, a grave with a window in it. So if it happened that he did wake up a victim of premature burial, he would be able to see out, and people would be able to look down and keep an eye on him. And as a special added measure, they put a bell in the corpse's hand so that if he did wake up, he could ring the bell and signal for help. So if you do visit the grave, and you'll know which one it is, it's the one with a window in it, listen very carefully. You might hear it ringing.
Chronicle the Podcast is produced by Ellen Fleming with editing and technical help from Gino Morrow. Our managing editor is Nega Faison. Chris Sterling is our executive producer. I'm Shayna Seymour. Thanks for listening. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen and watch Chronicle Monday through Friday at 7:30 p.m. on WCVB TV Channel 5. Until next time.
Support for Chronicle the Podcast is provided by VisitNH.gov. It's fall and new adventures await in New Hampshire. New Hampshire is a foliage lover's dream come true. Whether you like the crunch of crisp leaves under your feet or a scenic drive through the White Mountains, you'll enjoy the unbeatable fall views no matter where you go. And with so many places to see and experience, you'll never be at a loss for things to do in New Hampshire. Live free and learn more at VisitNH.gov.